Nighttime lows in the upper 60s. This is Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are a little bit cooler today. I know we just heard James Spann. It sounded like it's back in the 80s yesterday. Me and Chase were just talking about it. I think roughly 90 degrees or so. I want to say Mike said that it was up to 90-something in New York. Now, I don't know if he was trolling us or not, but that would be absolutely nuts. Because let me just say this. You guys know I've been talking about some of the work that's going on here outside the Lamparillo Law Studios. Really excited about that. Thought it was going to be done yesterday. I think today should be officially the last day. Good news is it hadn't really been too bad in terms of the noise level, at least from what I've heard when I'm gone back and listened to the show. That said, man, I was out there a little bit after the show had finished up, and without a doubt, it felt every bit of 90 or so degrees. So hope you guys are hydrating and staying cool, because it's definitely probably going to be one of those summers. Now, Reed, I can't remember. Let's see, you just got in your seat. I'll give you a second to get all set up. Where are you from originally, Reed? Are you from Alabama or Texas?
Yeah, so I'm from like the Birmingham area. I'm about 20, 25 minutes. I'm more so like really close to Hoover. I'm like two exits from Hoover.
All right, so you're used to it. I think everybody sitting in that studio right now is from the state of Alabama. Chase got up and left. He's from Louisiana originally, so I think we're all used to it. But definitely pray for the folks that aren't from here, that that end up here and they're not used to this heat. I always just remember, like, one of the first things I was looking for when this new staff got here was how they were going to acclimate to the heat, knowing that, well, Kenny Womack from South Alabama, around Wyatt's neck of the woods, but Kalen DeBoer and others, man, I'm sure it just had to hit them differently. I'm not sure about South Dakota. Do you guys know about South Dakota? I mean, I feel like it up there, I'd imagine it's probably pretty cold during the winter.
It's freezing during the winter, but it does get decently warm in the summer, like cap out at around 85, but we know it because we live in the South. They don't deal with the humidity.
Yeah.
I take a shower, my hair's still wet at noon.
Oh, 100%. I mean, but that's the biggest difference. And I say this all the time, but I'm not kidding when I say this. Like, there's so many days now that I'm outside, because I'm outside a lot, like whether I'm, you know, my dog's walking, whatever. And I literally just have the thought that I'm like, there's no way that I used to do this every day, but with like pads on, running around 2.5 hours, then, you know, conditioning afterwards. Like, there's just no way, number one, I was doing it like that. Number two, how is that even, like, how do you survive that? Because I feel like if I just go walk my dog around the block and come back, I feel like I'm about to pass out. So I'm like, putting on all that equipment right now, I'm definitely glad I'm not doing that anymore. So I'm sitting here in the nice AC in the Lamparillo Law Studios, much better than falling out during 110s, which they're about to be running when they come back, which I'm pretty sure summer workouts are about to start back up, guys. I think we're like right around the corner from summer workouts. So for all the guys that were on break, I know we've seen some videos and some, I'm sure you guys probably follow a lot of those players on social media. They've been having their time. A lot of them have still been training, but all that's coming to a close. And for you guys wondering what it's like to be a college athlete, that's pretty much it. You get that, like those 3 weeks that we sat here with the dog days of summer, that's pretty much your time off. They'll be back here taking classes, working out, running, lifting, all that good stuff. And then that goes pretty much straight into training camp. You might have like 4 or 5 days off right before, what's it called? I guess the training camp really starts, but really you don't have a huge break. That this has been their break, but they're already about to get started, which I will say this, clearly there's not going to be practices for us to cover. I wish there was, that would be great. There's not. They'll be doing 7-on-7 and meetings and all that fun stuff. However, I do think we will be able to have some media opportunities. Of course, you've got SEC Media Days coming up, but I did speak with some of the folks over there, and I think we'll be able to line up a couple interviews throughout the summer, just some of the similar stuff we've done where we had guys jump on the show, which is cool, and I appreciate them helping me out with that. So I'll keep you posted on that. I don't know who, when, what, where, but that's something that we're looking into. Why, were you about to say something, or are you looking at something else?
No, just you've also got SEC spring meetings in Sandestin, Florida, I think next week or the week after. But it's coming up quickly.
So is that something that media typically attends, or is that just like coaches where like a lot of media will be coming out of it from the coaches themselves meeting, right?
No, there will be some media members there. A lot of it on the national side of things this year. So we'll get a lot of content, you know, guys like Brandon Marcello, Pete Nakos. I'm sure they'll have a bunch of content because they'll be down in Sandestin. But no, we may even get some audio clips, too, from some of these coaches, maybe an athletic director or two will be willing to go on the record.
Oh, 100%. Well, I'm looking forward to that. So, again, we got you guys covered. We'll be talking about a number of things. And I said yesterday, man, I'm not a huge basketball guy, but I am guilty of turning it on around this time of year. Me and Chase have been talking about the conference finals games. We had yet another good game last night. I don't know if Reed, Wyatt, Chase, or even Norris. Now, you guys got a whole group back. I mean, literally, I mean, it's four of you guys. It's not even a tag team. What do you call a four-way match? It's not a fatal four-way. You're not going against each other. You're on the same team. Is there a name for a squad?
We're just a squad.
There you go, squad. There you go, Fortnite squad right there. Y'all are loaded up, about to drop in. Yeah, me and Chase have been talking about these finals games. Another good one last night, man. The Knicks and the Cavs. I don't know if Reed, Chase, Wyatt, Norris. I'm just going to say the team. I don't know if the team back there has watched any of it or got to watch last night. Me and Chase talked about Wemby. He's a special player. But last night, man, you talk about the Knicks coming back. They were down like 20 points or so in like the fourth quarter. I remember just watching. I'm like, yep, they might as well go and pack that up. But that is exactly why you don't let that thought creep in. You always follow through with the 60-minute rule in football, right? Playing to the whistle, whatever it is, because the Knicks forced overtime and ended up winning. I didn't ask you guys this yesterday. Y'all have a favorite to win the NBA Finals? I'm curious who you guys think. I mean, OKC, we know they got SGA going for, well, he just went, you know, back-to-back with MVPs. He's a really good player. They look good, but I wouldn't sleep on the Spurs, man, with Wemby. I mean, I don't know. Who do you guys think? I know that's the Western, but what about the Eastern?
Well, Chase and I were literally talking about it prior to that game when it was like, San Antonio's got to win one of these first two in OKC, because if you go back to San Antonio down 2-0, like, it may be a problem. So Wemby, Wemby just decides to drop, you know, 40 points in game one, and, you know, so they steal game one. So now the Spurs have home court advantage. Even if, you know, even if they lose, I guess what, the next game's tonight or tomorrow night, even if they lose the next game in game two, if you can take the two in San Antonio, like, you're fine at that point. So if Wembanyama is going to keep doing this, give me the Spurs. I like the Spurs a lot. Now, I am also partial to the Knicks because our intern Matt from this past spring is a big Knicks fan. So I got no qualms with the Knicks. So I don't really care if they you know, suck. as a Heat fan, you know, I don't like the Hawks and the Hornets, but the Knicks, I right now I got no qualms with them. So I'd be down to see a Spurs Knicks finals.
Your fandom spreads across the country, doesn't it? Hey, you down in South Beach for basketball, you all the way up in Green Bay, Wisconsin for football, down south in Alabama for college football. Hell, who's your baseball team, Wyatt? The Yankees?
San Francisco Giants.
No, my God. I knew it had to be somewhere else. Yeah, you're going out west with it. How that? Wait.
Okay, timeout.
The Heat and the Green Bay Packers. I mean, you told me the Packers is something, I think, you told me that once.
They drafted Eddie Lacy and HaHa Clinton Dix. That's how I ended up with the Packers. And then Aaron Rodgers, just phenomenal thrower of the football. So that's how I ended up with Green Bay. My dad grew up in South Florida and was a massive, massive Heat fan. So he and I liked the Heat and the Florida Panthers for the NHL. My grandfather was actually drafted by the San Francisco Giants. Never played, but he was drafted, and so my family supports the Giants. And then I grew up in Alabama, cool. And so roll tide.
There you go. That's cool. I mean,
I at least got reasons for it. It's not. I'm not just bandwagoning. Like, I got reasons. Yeah. I got family affiliations with most of my pro sports teams.
Well, and to be fair, it's not like you necessarily have to. I'm sure there's a bunch of people that just growing up, they just picked a team. Because for me, my dad played at South Carolina. We used to go to South Carolina games, so naturally I would have been a South Carolina fan. But playing NCAA, the video game, I fell in love with Michigan's uniforms. So I would have called myself a Michigan fan for, like, my childhood at least. Then when I got older, it kind of just died off. I didn't really keep up with them. I didn't have anybody that was a big Michigan. I remember I used to love the Michigan uniforms as a kid. And then my dad played for the Giants 8 years, the Vikings only 1 year. But his final year, I was the oldest I would have been when he was playing, which still was only like four. But I feel like I still have slight memories of that. And I used to love the Vikings colors. So, like, you would think I'd be a Giants fan, but I, even though he played 8 years there, I always called myself more of a Vikings fan because he played 1 year there and I love the colors. Plus, growing up, my favorite player was Randy Moss. I don't know what it was about Randy Moss. I mean, of course, a really good player, but is somebody his like the long hair or something like the way that is, you know, that twang he had. I just, he's just a cool dude. I, something about him, like, man, I want to be like that dude, man. I'm like, he's just a cool dude. So I loved Randy Moss, and that, it made me really like the Vikings. But I ended up with the Panthers, and I told you a story about the Packers. Didn't almost end up there. They how would you feel about being an undrafted free agent signing with us? I'm like, how would you feel if I hung up the phone, man? No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. But I was just kind of like, damn, dude, like, that's kind of crazy. Like, I had no one that said, I didn't even get that. I was like, that was the first time somebody said that to me. I'm like, I'm over here hearing late second round, third, fourth, maybe fifth or sixth. I get it. I'm coming off a torn hamstring. I tore my bicep. I understand. But damn.
Green Bay makes a lot of draft decisions that really tick me off. So I'd, we'll chalk that one up to it as well, because I was all over them taking, like, Reggie Ragland, Tim Williams. Like, I was damn near begging for them to just draft Alabama players because it worked with Eddie and HaHa. They were phenomenal for a couple of seasons there.
It's still working with, well, Josh Jacobs. I know they didn't draft him, but they signed him.
Signed Jacobs, McKinney. Xavier McKinney. Yeah, like, it's working. And they just drafted Damani, so I'm all for it, man. The more it worked in Philadelphia. You draft Georgia and Alabama players, you're going to win a Super Bowl. Do it, Green Bay. Philadelphia's giving you the blueprint. Do it. And there's no major roads in Green Bay for Georgia players to get in trouble on anyways.
Okay. All right. There you go. See, you had to take it there. But you're not wrong. I did see a tweet, and I don't know if it's – dude, there's so much AI out there half the time. I don't know what's the actual fact. I saw someone's like over 300 – like either like tickets or citations since Kirby has been there, something. I was like, God, I don't know if that's accurate. It sounds accurate by as much news that comes out of Athens about that, but I don't know. He's got a good football team. I'll give him that much. I mean, I guess you need a few of those.
I don't know after this most recent NFL draft, but at one point, fairly recently, he had more arrests than first round draft picks during his time at Georgia.
That's very telling because he's definitely had some damn good football players, especially ones that have gone in the first round. So they just need to – I'm telling you, I don't know if you guys grew up riding dirt bikes, motorcycles, things like that. Listen, man, the governor, right? The big thing was take the governor off that limited the speed. They need to put – reinstall governors on these vehicles. So as soon as you sign with Georgia, they need to put like some governor or some limiter, you know what I mean, on the vehicle, because these guys just can't keep their foot – off the pedal, which, I mean, when you're driving cars like that, I mean, it is kind of hard not to. I mean, let's just call a spade. I mean, I like opening up that throttle a little bit. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTV.
Savings and free delivery on select appliances at the Home Depot. Offer valid May 14th through June 3rd. U.S. only. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $998 or more. See store online for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the
next. Or call 800-544-7357. 800-544-7357. That's 800-544-7357.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. We're going to hold on to clouds here this afternoon. Scattered showers and storms around 87. The storm chances continue through the night tonight down to 68. More storms on tap for tomorrow. High tomorrow 86. The rain chances continue on here through the close of the week and into the holiday weekend. Daytime highs in the mid-80s, nighttime lows in the upper 60s. This is Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 87 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Into this edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. All right. The main topic that we're going to talk about, I didn't even mention in the first segment. We kind of were taking a couple of different little segues. But anonymous coaches coming out. I feel like they do this pretty often now. You see it all the time in the NFL around draft time, or really around any time. But there's always anonymous coach says this or anonymous coach says that. Listen, I don't even know how much you can trust these things. I'm assuming you can, but allegedly there are some anonymous coaches, or at least, I don't know, the main one was a coach basically speaking on Alabama and kind of where things are now, giving his thoughts on maybe expectations on what they would have been following Coach Saban. So we're going to dive into that here shortly. But first, we got ourselves a super chat from Mr. Adam Lamparello. So again, let me remind you guys about Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. If you haven't checked them out, make sure you guys go do that. They got a brand new website you can go ahead to right now, lamparello-law.com. Very easy, whether on your computer, mobile browser, you name it. And right there on the website, you'll find all the details that you need. They'll take great care of you in terms of representation, whether it's any criminal defense matter, NIL, academic misconduct. They specialize in those things for sure. They do it for very affordable rates. They'll beat out the competition. They're genuine. They're passionate. You guys hear Adam and that passion that he brings every Thursday here on the show. So make sure you guys check them out. But not only do they offer representation, but they also help out with high school, college, and graduate students that may need some assistance with academic and career planning, subject matter mastery, or even just exam and test taking preparation, all things that are very important for students. So they do all those different things. So to find out more about those services and what they do and how they'll represent you, go to that website, lamparello-law.com. They can help anybody out. Again, affordable. That's the big thing. Affordable rates that you can actually pay for, especially today's economy. So check it out. Again, that's lamparello-law.com, or give them a call, 201-335-6692, Adam at lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, the official representation here on the Miller's Edge. So this is Adam's question for us today. He says, Christian, if you were the head coach, what would your message be to the players as they enter the summer and prepare for what looks like a very challenging schedule this season? Really good question. Number one, right off the bat, take advantage of every single opportunity. Just because it's summer does not mean it's a time to really slow things down, to kind of just, you know, go through the motions. I understand that you're not going and putting the pads on, you're not putting the helmets on, but every single opportunity that you have needs to mean something, whether that's in the weight room, right? I get it, it's going to be hot. I get it, it's going to be tough. But now is the time to separate yourselves, right? That was our biggest thing. We always viewed the summer and these periods, even like fourth quarter, the off-season periods, that wasn't a time for us to slow down. It was really a time for us to really ramp things up and go harder than we typically do. Why? Because we don't have practice to worry about. So we can invest so much more physically in the weight room, right, in our conditioning. Now is the time to build your bodies up physically, but also get this, mentally. This is where you establish mental toughness. That's why we would go run snakes. That's why we would run the 110s. That's why we go immediately in the weight room right after that and go put 500 pounds on our backs and squat, which sounds ridiculous. I honestly don't even know if it's very smart. But hey, I can tell you one thing. It built mental toughness. So that's what I would tell my team. This is what we're going to use this summer from that standpoint. From a football perspective, right? We might not be practicing, but we still have 7-on-7. We still have one-on-ones with the offense, defensive line. But most importantly, we have plenty of time to go into meetings and watch tape, whether that's together, maybe a GA. I don't know what the rules permit nowadays, but still, we can watch more tape than ever today. Now is the time to build our foundation, right? Build the building blocks, right? That's where you learn, you know, the system even better. You just had a spring opportunity, unless you didn't early enroll, which is probably only a few guys nowadays, but you build off of that. You start back over, you strip things down, and you really make sure you know exactly what the hell you're doing. Because once fall camp comes, you hit the ground running and there's no more, oh, we have time. I mean, you got a few weeks of practice and you're playing your first game. So take advantage of the summer, attack it each and every single day. Don't let an opportunity go to waste. I know you got school and other things. Make sure you take care of business there. But really, man, use this time wisely. And then off the field, when you're not, you know, up here at the facility, you're not working and doing things like that, spend time with your teammates. Awesome opportunity to actually build chemistry and camaraderie. You have more time than ever. Don't be Soresby. Don't do it by downloading prize picks like Smitty here in the chat. He can't help himself. Don't do that to build chemistry. I repeat, stay the hell away from gambling apps. Go get some meat from Publix. Get you a Traeger grill like I have that they sent me a few years ago that still is running good. Go hit the links. Hell, I know some people that have some ponds. You need to go fish. I have a house that's on a lake not far from here. Jam Miller and some other guys have fished off my dock. Go fish off my dock together. Do stuff like that. Build that team chemistry right now. That way, when you go into fall camp, when you go into the season, you are ready to rock and roll. Because like you said, it's going to be a tough one. You got a lot of people doubting you. And that would probably be my last thing, right? I shouldn't have to fuel you guys. But if you need any fuel of motivation, turn on the news, man. You got anonymous coaches calling you soft, former players calling you soft, other fan bases calling you soft. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to let them be right? Or are you going to bust your ass in that weight room and make sure when fall camp comes, you take care of business? And then when the season comes, you can go out there and prove it. You can go put it on tape, right? Because you got Indiana talking crazy. You got everybody saying all these things. Forget the whole, hey, the Bama standard talk. Let's just put that to the side. Let's worry about what we are right now and what we need to do to go out there and win football games. That would be my speech. Hopefully it resonated with some of you guys. Probably not. I guess we don't have a football team to really motivate. I just was answering a question, but I kind of got into it. That was fun. Maybe I could coach a little bit. I don't know. All right, let's do this. Let's hit a timeout. We come back. We keep rolling. Really good question, Adam, and thank you so much for the support, of course, as always. We got to talk about the anonymous coaches that have kind of been chirping a little bit, man. And then I got a follow-up to it. So I'll explain what was said, and then we'll give our thoughts to it, and we'll hit this follow-up when we come back right here on this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1239.
That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Hey, y'all. This is Alabama offensive lineman William Sanders, and you're listening to Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
WTBC. All right, so I just put my coaching hat on and gave my hypothetical team a speech right there, getting ready for summer. Thought that was a pretty decent speech. Feel like I covered everything. Only thing maybe, Reed, that I probably left out, I know I mentioned, you know, not to gamble, but also, I mean, make smart decisions. You know, it is summer. Granted, there's not a bunch of students on campus. Things are normally pretty slow during the summer. But we still know. I mean, when you got extra time and you're bored, ain't got stuff to do, sometimes you can find yourself making decisions you probably shouldn't be making. So that would probably be the other thing. But I think everybody kind of already understands that, but probably would harp on that as well. All right. So main point that I wanted to hit today again was the anonymous coaches talking, chirping a little bit. Alabama came up. Now, I'll say this, Reed. I don't know if I would make it out as being like this quote was like super negative necessarily. To be honest with you, I think it was actually pretty factual. But it is always interesting when people decide to, I guess, make quotes or give statements under the whole anonymous thing, which, I mean, you clearly understand why they would hear, right? Because who wants to sit there and put a face on and go, hey, I'm the head coach at the University of, who knows, Tennessee, and I think Alabama is soft now. Like, you know, you don't want to start any of that. I mean, if anybody was going to do it, I think we could probably agree. Probably Lane Kiffin would probably be the one. If anybody was going to do something like that, it'd probably be Lane Kiffin. So anyway, you had an anonymous coach speaking from Athlon Sports and just, you know, offering his opinion on Alabama, how things look right now. So here's this one, and this is just a screenshot from this video. Let me throw it on the screen so you guys can read it. But this is one of the comments here. It says, with whoever was going to follow Nick Saban, there was going to be a measuring stick on the toughness or the softness of the program. The run game statistics do not vouch for toughness. They have to fix that. Losing quarterback Ty Simpson doesn't help that. So that's the first one we're going to talk about here, which I just said, I'll be honest. I don't think it's it doesn't sound to me like they're necessarily hating or they're trying to throw shots. If anything, I think they're speaking facts here. Can we agree on that? I mean, that's just a fact. Whoever was going to follow Coach Saban, given the brand, given the foundation that had been built, right? Always hearing about, you know, us beating teams before even stepping off the bus, right? Out physicaling teams, right? Being much more dominant. Everybody wants to see how Alabama's going to look post-Coach Saban. And that's probably going to be one of the biggest measuring sticks. Of course, how many championships can they win? How successful can they be? We all know that. But even deeper would be what they're describing here, right? The toughness. Are they going to be that type of team? Which one could argue, which would also be facts, that started to slip even when Coach Saban was here. So that is something to keep in mind. I would say Coach Saban's last couple of years, people were already having rumblings of this same thing. So that you just got to be honest there. But with it being said, Reed, I mean, how would you assess this quote? I'll put it back so you can read it again. With whoever was going to follow Nick Saban, there was going to be a measuring stick on the toughness or the softness of the program. The run game statistics do not vouch for toughness. They have to fix that. Losing Ty Simpson doesn't help. Reed, what do you make of that?
I mean, I think whoever this anonymous coach is, I think they were just keeping it real, especially, you know, regarding that first part of, and at least that's what I was expecting as well, as, you know, there's going to be that measuring stick of, are we going to see an adjustment for the better or for the worse of the program? And then the second part is just really just an observation of what they saw, you know, that, like we both know, just the run game has not quite been there, and they think that it is for this toughness. So I don't really see it, really, like you said, any shots or any shade being thrown. I think just the person, whoever this anonymous coach is just keeping it a buck.
And keeping it a buck. I like that, Reed. Who taught you that one? Where are you learning that, Reed? Hold on, keeping it a buck. Who are you hanging around?
I mean, I'm just around, I guess.
Yeah, I like that. All right, Reed's a little seasoned there, keeping it a buck. All right, good stuff, Reed. I will say, if you go look it up, I don't know if it's the same anonymous coach, other anonymous coaches, but Athlon Sports did mention an anonymous coach had something to say about LSU's first year expectations under Lane Kiffin, right? So it's not like somebody just picking out Alabama. I want to be clear, right? It's not like they're just picking on Alabama or trying to pick them and single them out. They probably, if it is the same person, were asked about a number of different situations. What do you think about Alabama? What do you think about, they were asked about Notre Dame, right? But with this one, with Alabama, I mean, I agree with you. I think anybody with eyes and anybody that keeps up with college football or watched Alabama last year, I mean, we all saw the same thing, right? I mean, let me just pull up these rushing statistics from last season. And I'll be honest, I don't even think it really matters. Yes, that matters when the numbers are that bad, right? Historically, it was probably one of the worst, not probably, it was one of the worst seasons we've had running the football since probably, I think, around like World War II or something crazy like that, right? It was like that bad. So that's already one thing, but I like going off what my eyes see. And your eyes tell you the whole picture, right? I mean, it wasn't just like an inability to run the football. It was, you know, being out physical. And this is something that, you know, I would say over the past 2 years has been something that's come up, whether it's the Vanderbilt game, you know, 2 years ago, that really stood out. I mean, yeah, we had an issue of getting off the field on third down, but if you really watched the trench play in that game, it was a very similar type deal. And that was where you started seeing some of those flashes of concerns, right? And at the end of the day, you know, you can only respond to it and back that up with actions. And that's why we hear so much about, you know, Coach DeBoer trying to change that narrative, because unfortunately that is a narrative with Alabama right now. Whether, you know, fans want to admit it or not, it is just true. But they're 100,000% correct that whoever it was that was going to follow Coach Saban, even though we saw some of that physicality and that toughness slipping a little bit, can we agree on that, Reed? That, or even Wyatt, any of you guys, can we agree that probably, I would say, the last 2 years under Coach Saban, we saw that start to slip a little bit? I mean, I know his final year, they played in the Rose Bowl. They really could have won that game. They had a number of opportunities, could have found themselves in a national championship game. But go back, Texas, the loss during the regular season game. I mean, and I think the rushing statistics were actually pretty solid, but still, there was, I remember there being conversation. I think it was more on the defensive side, to be honest with you. I mean, it was on the offense side too. Traditional running game definitely wasn't elite like it had been, but there was a lot of talk on the defensive side. Where are the dogs at, right? We don't have any enforcers like that. We had a lot of good talent. Remember, that's Kool-Aid McKinstry, Terrion Arnold. You had, what, Dallas Turner maybe still? Or maybe he might have left them. I think that might have been his last year. I mean, Chris Braz, I mean, you had some really good football players, but the identity of the team just didn't feel the same as some of Coach Saban's other football teams. So can we agree that maybe his last, what, 2 years, this started to be a little bit of a narrative or started creeping in?
I'll go back to 21 because we were complaining about the pass blocking for Bryce Young. 22, we were complaining about, you know, pass blocking and run blocking because there's no way in hell Jahmyr Gibbs shouldn't have had 1,000 yards. And then 23, you had those same issues. Again, I think Milroe masked a lot of that with what he's able to do with the run game. And then last year was just icing on the cake. Like, that was the big coup de grace of, no, we really do have a problem. But I'd go all the way back to 2021 and, you know, the lack of pass protection for Bryce. I think they leaned too far into trying to fix that, and you saw the run game suffer.
Yeah, you did.
I was going to say, I would kind of flip that in the sense of, like, at least just from last season alone, like, strictly just the data we got from last season, how much of the toughness not being there was on maybe the run game or, you know, the offensive line? Was there a specific, like, area on the field where we felt like, hey, if this would have been addressed, you know, sooner, then maybe, you know, we could say that, yeah, you know, this team showed toughness, just we still haven't quite figured it out.
Well, and this is my follow-up to this whole point, because what they're mentioning here, and I'll throw it back on the screen for anybody that hadn't seen it, they're just talking about the measuring stick on the toughness. They didn't mention the success, right? Because to be fair, like someone from Facebook, I think his name was Caleb, I apologize if I messed your name up, but the success through 2 years, I would say is respectable. And the reason I say respectable, meaning year one, you know it's a transition year. I don't think anybody expected Coach DeBoer to lead this team after losing 30 guys to the transfer portal first year, trying to lay the foundation, guys trying to get used to his system the way he does. I don't think anybody expected Alabama to be a championship team that year. They actually had some nice wins, but they also had some bad losses. But again, transition year. Year number two, you go 10-2 the regular season. You earn a trip to the SEC championship game. You go to the playoffs. I mean, again, I think what he's done through 2 years is very respectable. If you eliminate some of those quote-unquote bad losses or games you shouldn't have lost, or just the performances that we saw, you know, whether it was just really poor execution, really poor physicality, it's probably a different story. But again, they're not mentioning that because, right, year one and year two, you're seeing some progress. However, when they're talking about the toughness of the physicality, the softness of the program, we all know that was going to be something that people had an eye on. But that being said, let me ask you guys this. This is a question that I was thinking, because people are, we just mentioned the success that they had in year two, but we're still complaining about the lack of physicality. What would you guys prefer? Would you prefer through 2 years, let's say year one was year one, but year two, he had another 9-3 type year, but the three losses were very close games to good football teams. They played physical. They just, the other team got the better of them. The ball just didn't land on their side. You get what I'm saying? Imagine one of those. Imagine they lost to, let's say Georgia was a loss. Imagine they lost to, who were some of the other good teams? I know everybody was like ranked at the time, but you get the point. Like, say there were good football games, good football teams. We looked physical. It was a battle. It was like Georgia versus Ole Miss in the college football playoff. You had two of those in there, but you were a 9-3 football team in back-to-back years, but you were a physical team. Or would you prefer what we have, at least from last season, where year two was a step up, you went to the SEC championship game, you earned a trip to the playoffs, but you're deemed a soft football team? What would you guys prefer be the case, and then also moving forward, kind of that vibe, where you might not, the outlook is like, hey, you're a tough football team, but you're not as confident on, hey, I don't know if we're going to be a 10-11 win type team, but hey, we're tough as nails. We're struggling to get the job done. Or would you prefer where it's like, hey, we're a little finesse, we win games, but we're pretty soft?
Winning cures all, right? I mean, if you go 10-11 wins every single year under Kalen DeBoer, at least from this point on, I don't care. You're 10 wins put you in the playoff every single year in a 12-team model. You go to 24, and now you're looking at hosting games, hosting multiple playoff games in Bryant-Denny Stadium at that point. So I'd rather win, whatever it whatever that means, whatever that takes, I'd rather win. Now, I do get why people want the physicality, because you look at the Georgias, the Indianas, the Ohio States that are super, super physical in their years that they were really successful, and they just beat the brakes off everybody. And so I do think that physicality probably would lead to more wins, but in this scenario of your physical, but your cap is, we'll say, 9-3, 10-2, or you're maybe a little bit more finesse, but your cap is 10-2, 11-1, making the playoffs every year, I'd rather make the playoffs every year at that point. And so I see why some people would be more okay, because the outlook of the program, the optics of the program would be better if you're more physical, because you know that you can go out there and have success against other teams, especially teams that are a lot less physical than you. And you're not going to face a team like Georgia every single week. We tout the talent of the SEC. Tennessee's not as physical as Georgia. That's just a fact. And so at this point, you know what it takes. You know that you'll probably be in a lot of ball games. But all that to say, I'd rather, you know, if we're going to be a little more finesse, but you're going to win 10, 11 ball games a year, I'd rather have that.
Yeah, and listen, that's why I'm asking the question, because if you think about it, Wyatt, you're 100% right. Winning does cure all. If you won a national championship game and you had -3 rushing yards in several games the regular season, but you threw for 5,000 yards on the year and you win it all, I'm sure people will have some comments, but guess what? Their asses will be lined up down University Boulevard for a parade, and they won't be talking about -3 yards when the cars are driving by and we're throwing footballs and beads in there.
Matter of fact, they'd be bragging about it. We didn't even need a run game to beat you.
Exactly.
Your defense is so pitiful that we couldn't run the ball worth a lick, and we still beat you.
Yep. Yeah. No, they're 100%. And so you're right from that front. But and to your point, too, I mean, of course, the best of both worlds is that's what we all want. Everybody wants a physical team that's winning a lot. Because, like you said, most teams that win a lot are physical teams. I just wanted to throw this at you guys, because it's like, I hear how much we talk about the physicality part and all that stuff, but I'm just wondering, like, would you have felt better if, like, all right, you have a team that's real physical but hasn't had that same level of success? Or would you just prefer just to keep on winning, even though it doesn't always look pretty? Looks a little soft, a little finesse, but you're winning football games. That's the question. Plus, we got some more quotes and things we'll talk about. Also, hour number two, which is coming up very soon, the next round, I put out a very interesting, I guess, ranking that a lot of people are talking about. Top 10 quarterbacks of, I guess, excuse me, ranking the last 10 Alabama starting quarterbacks. This list was very interesting to see different opinions on that, and I want to get ours on this and go around the table. We got a bunch of people listen to the show and also in the producer room. So we're going to discuss that hour number two. All that coming up right on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll talk to Bill Conley. He's got some strong opinions on the college football playoff expansion talk. We'll start 2 p.m. right here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless
budget and build financial independence, all with Chase. That's good for kids and good for parents. Visit your local Chase branch and get started.
Accounts subject to approval. JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone.
I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
Free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. We're going to hold on to clouds here this afternoon. Scattered showers and storms around 87. Storm chances continue through the night tonight down to 68. More storms on tap for tomorrow. High tomorrow 86. The rain chances continue on here through the close of the week and into the holiday weekend. Daytime highs in the mid-80s. Nighttime lows in the upper 60s. This is Richard the Weather at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
This Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Another super chat from Mr. Lamparello of Lamparello Law. Make sure you guys go check them out right now. Lamparello-law.com for all your representation and also other services, including test taking preparation, exam, and all that good stuff. They get you covered, subject matter mastery, and of course, academic and career planning for all of those high school, college, and graduate students. Adam, he's still with this... He's trying to make his team battle-tested, Reed. He said he would tell his quarterbacks if he gave them a speech, man, hey, I need you to run a marathon, swim a mile through shark-infested waters, spend a week getting hit by Myles Garrett. And if you survive that, then you have a chance. Not even your guarantee. You have a chance of being our starting quarterback. Everybody else, boxing lessons, you got to fight, and you got to add 50 pounds on every lift by August. That's the most practical part here. We can push our weights up 50 pounds. Boxing lessons, that's practical. And if it's a controlled fight wearing headgear, I wouldn't be mad at that. I wouldn't be mad if I made my football team do some boxing like that. I mean, I wouldn't want anybody to get hurt. But I think it'd be a good little, I would say bonding, but you know people are going to get mad. You can't let guys just box and just think everybody's going. Yeah, I mean, I if somebody caught me with a hook and I'm supposed to just be like, oh yeah, we're practicing, we're training. But that's practical. Swimming through shark-infested water, though.
Yeah,
I mean, are they in a cage?
I was about to say, because Adam, I think I think he's trying to prepare him for war, and I love that. But when I heard the shark-infested waters, I was like, okay.
Yeah, it sounds like you're right. We're probably about to send them on a ship to go overseas and carry out some stuff. But I mean, again, Adam's clear. He wants a physical football team. Now, could we probably do it without risking them getting eaten by sharks? Probably. But maybe it's worth a try. Swimming through that without a cage, that's we might have no quarterbacks. Might have no quarterbacks at that point. But hey, who needs a quarterback when we just want to run the ball anyways, man? We'll just run Wildcat. We'll snap it to Daniel Hill every down. I think he played quarterback in high school anyway. Hey, thank you so much, Adam. Seriously, man. I love it, man. We got to hit a timeout when we come back. We're going to talk about a couple of these quotes. And then we're going to rank the last 10 starting quarterbacks for Alabama. The next round did it, and it's got a lot of people talking. And I feel like it could go a number of different ways. I'm really curious what you guys think, what Reed and others in the studio think. And I, of course, get mine right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles,
Here's Steve DeSager.
In game one of the NBA's East Finals in New York, the Knicks pulled off an incredible comeback to beat Cleveland in overtime, 115-104. Cavs were ahead 93-71 with under 8 minutes to go. Knicks were down 22 in the fourth and still won the game. Jalen Brunson scored 38 points. Jason Kidd is no longer the Mavericks head coach. They mutually parted ways, the club said. The new team president there in Dallas is Masai Ujiri. No NHL on the night, but Vancouver did fire coach Adam Foote and his staff after one season. That team has a new general manager. Carlos Alcaraz will miss the French Open and Wimbledon due to his wrist injury. The Milwaukee Brewers moved into first in the NL Central, half game over the Cubs and the Cardinals, winning in Chicago 5-2 against the Cubbies. The Cardinals, with a three-run homer in the 10th, beat the Pirates 9-6. Dodgers, with a run in the 9th, won 5-4 at San Diego.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll talk to Bill Conley. He's got some strong opinions on the college football playoff expansion talk. We'll start 2 p.m. right here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, so we were just talking about the anonymous coach quotes, right? Again, I don't know if there's one coach, two coaches, three, just who, I don't know. But there's anonymous quotes coming from coaches, Reed, and we just covered the first one that said, with whoever was going to follow Nick Saban there, was going to be a measuring stick on the toughness or the softness of the program. The run game statistics do not vouch for toughness. They have to fix that. Losing Ty Simpson does not help that. Which, again, we agree. Those are facts, not really throwing shade. It's just true. Whoever followed Coach Saban was going to have their ability to have a tough physical football team measured. And also, the running game is just not really helping that at all, right? We talked about the statistics already, whether it's negative 3 yards, I think in the SEC championship game against Indiana wasn't a whole hell of a lot better. You know, and then just turn on the tape, right? I mean, your eyes will not deceive you. That needs to be better. Here's another quote that I found also from Athlon Sports. Again, I'm assuming maybe the same coach, who knows, but this is from the same article. It reads, Alabama is losing games in ways Nick Saban never allowed. The anonymous coach summarized the growing concern bluntly. Double-digit losses were never a thing under Nick Saban. Now they're a thing. So I think that was the quote. I think the first part I read was them explaining it. So I think the quote is just, double-digit losses were never a thing under Nick Saban. Now they're a thing. Reed, I'm going to be self-aware here, and I'm also going to be I'm going to hold myself and our team accountable. We suffered a double-digit loss, not in just a regular game, but in a national championship game.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so it happened under Coach Saban. That those are facts. Now, and it happened on a very big stage. We were complaining about Indiana, which I get, Rose Bowl, big stage. There's no denying it, right? I'm not going to deny it. That did happen. However, and this is not an excuse, this is just looking at the whole picture. The facts are, we pulled up that schedule from this year. We beat everybody, pretty much even the top teams in the SEC, 29-0 going to number 3 ranked LSU in their backyard. Like, we were beating everybody like that. We just so happened to get to a point in the national championship game where we got ahead of ourselves, overlooked our opponent probably a little bit, and really just called spade a spade. We got complacent, thinking we could just show up and win a football game. And that's exactly what did not happen. But my point is, did it happen under Coach Saban? Yes. So let's just be honest here. However, out of my 5 years, I think I lost 6 football games. Let me stop saying football is a weak sport. We only lost like 6 football games through that 5-year span. Ole Miss, Ohio State, Ole Miss, Clemson, Auburn, and then Clemson. So those are like the only 6 games that I think we lost when I was here for 5 years. And one of those was that double-digit loss. Ole Miss, one of them might have been a double-digit. It might have been like 10-plus points, just like right around that range, something like that. Maybe a couple of them were, but you get what I'm saying. Through 5 years, 6 losses, I mean, you know, and I know this is talking about double-digit losses, but anyway, when you hear that, Reed, I mean, what do you make of that quote again? It says, double-digit losses were never a thing under Nick Saban, which we know is not true, weren't common at all, but it's not true. They happened. Yeah, and then he just goes on to say, now they're a thing. Your thoughts, Reed?
Yeah, no, I just think, kind of like you pointed out, saying that it never happened, I think it's just completely untrue and just, I mean, we just practically fact-checked that. But I think whoever this anonymous coach is, I think mistakenly was trying to say that, hey, this wouldn't have happened as frequently, I think is the key word there. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, as we saw, like you said, that was a 5-year stretch that you were talking about. And then compared to just, you know, the 2 years that with Kalen DeBoer with us, you know. And, of course, those are two completely different coaches in different years in their year here at Alabama. So, but I get where they're coming from with the more frequently. But to say that it never happened under Saban is just wrong.
Yeah, and I would definitely say, yeah, this is the consistency here, right? Now, I did ask ChatGPT, why not, right? Just ask AI. And I typed in, this was a cue. I said, how many double-digit losses did Nick Saban have at Alabama? Because I want to really kind of narrow it down a little bit. It says a total of 8 from 2007 to 2023. At least that's what we got here. Again, we all know AI can be wrong, but we'll just go off this for now. Florida in the 2008 SEC championship game. That was 31-20. Utah in the Sugar Bowl in 2009, 31-17. At South Carolina, 35-21. Oklahoma in that Sugar Bowl in 2014, 45-31. Auburn in 2017, 26-14. And then the Clemson National Championship, 44-16. We got beat down by a true freshman, Trevor Lawrence. 7, Georgia in the 2021 National Championship game, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was one of those games where I think we had like a bad play late in the game and it led to some point. I didn't like Bryce throw a pick or something like that. Anyway. anyway, but it's, you see, at 33-18. I don't feel like that game, like, I think that was more of a late, I don't know. It doesn't matter. That was another one. And then Texas, of course, in 2023, 34-24. So in a span of, what is that, 16, 17 seasons? If I'm doing however long Coach Saban went, 07, 2023, eight total. So to the, like we're saying, you know, definitely consistency thing. And I get it. I know he didn't mean like it never happened, but yeah, that's pretty much like, it almost feels like never happened. Eight times in the span of 16 to 17 years is kind of crazy. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. I just think that like, it's so hard to, I guess, like you said, compare the two, because they are two different coaches. But, you know, we're taking into a sample of Kalen DeBoer compared to, number one, the GOAT. And DeBoer, it just goes back to my whole point regarding the two coaches is DeBoer has such a small sample size. We've only seen two seasons, you know, and credit, those two seasons may have, you know, roughly the same amount or maybe more, maybe less than Nick Saban did the entire tenure here. But it's so hard to, I guess, compare those two. But I see what you mean regarding the whole how frequently it might happen and the fact of the consistency.
Yeah, I agree. There's another quote here. I mean, I need to find the whole article because it seems like there's a number of them. This one reads, let me throw it up on the screen. This actually leads into that. So it led into the one we just read. This one says, the top two running backs are gone. Wait, hold on one second. Top two running backs are gone. Three of the top offensive linemen are gone. Wide receiver Bernard was a special player. Losing all of them doesn't allow people to play you honest. So that you can run the ball. People are going to be able to play two high safeties, create multiple looks, and create issues for them. And then that's when he goes on to say double-digit losses were never a thing under Saban. Now they're a thing. That creates concern. Oh, it's extended. That creates concern, talking points, and narratives, which is tough to deal with because the players see it. Hold on. I'm a little confused on this part, Reed, because...
Yes, am I.
Yeah, the top two running backs are gone. Well, Jam Miller was, I would say, when... I'm probably need to pull up their statistics. Weren't very great anyways, but Jam would have been what? Like, you know, running back one. Granted, he was hurt. And Daniel Hill got some more snaps down the stretch when he was out. Kevin Riley early on in the season when he was out. I don't know who the second back is. They're saying that. Am I missing something? I thought the only back we lost was Jam. Daniel Hill, Kevin Riley, A.K. Deer.
Richard Young did leave, but... to say that he was like a top two running back when...
Yeah, he was probably running back four.
No, credit. He did start the season off right out of that range, but like when we're talking the end of the season, no, he was not in that like top two range.
Yeah, so there... This, okay, this almost reads like somebody that's probably not within the conference. You would assume that it would be an SEC coach, but this almost feels like it's somebody that's not in the conference. You know what I mean? If they're, I just feel like something's a little bit off. It goes on to say, three of the top offensive linemen are gone. Caden Proctor, Wilkin Formby transferred. And then you had Parker Brailsford. Also, the guard transferred from A&M and the other backup, Vandermark. You did lose a number of offensive linemen, but let's just call a spade a spade. I mean, the offensive line was not good last year. Jeremy Bernard was a special player. Losing all of them doesn't allow people to play you honest. Wait, losing all of them does not allow people to play you honest so that you can run the ball. People are going to be able to play two high safeties, create multiple looks, and create issues for them. That's what we saw last year, right? I mean, we were seeing that last year. I mean, people were playing too high. Matter of fact, it got to a point where we were seeing like three high safety looks. Oklahoma, Georgia also did it. An SEC championship game, the box was very light. They were hardly even having. They were pretty much not respecting our ability to run the football, and they were just taking away things deep. Like George in the SEC championship game, phenomenal game plan. They were playing things deep to short. They were taking away all those throws, whether it's the cover two hole shots, deep part of the middle of the field that we like to work a lot throughout the regular season, and they were forcing Ty to do what? Take those checkdowns, hit the flat real quick, and those guys are doing a great job driving on the football, and it would just be 3-4-5 yard gains. You can live to see another day. I mean, what they're describing is kind of like what we already had saw last football season. Maybe they're just saying losing those players doesn't help that issue. Maybe you'll just see more of that, which that is the anticipation, right? Until Alabama proves that they can, in fact, find a remedy of running the football and having success doing it, you're going to keep seeing that. And that's kind of what we talked about last year. Teams are going to be able to sit back, play things deep to short, take away those throws that you want to make, and they're going to be able to tee things up, whether it's blitzes, simulated pressures, or even just having their edge guys just pin their ears back, ready to just to get off the rock, knowing that there's a good chance you're trying to throw the football. So there's that. And the last part that they added on there, that creates concern about the double-digit thing, talking points and narratives, which is tough to deal with because players see it. You know, players going to see stuff nowadays. That's the world we live in with social media, all that. So those are the quotes that we're talking about. We got to hit a break. When we come back, I want to read y'all's responses. So now you have both quotes, or I guess all three we talked about. What do you think about this anonymous coach and his thoughts on Alabama? Do you agree with it? Do you have any pushback? I want to hear from you guys. 205-342-9904 is the number if you guys want to get on the conversation. I don't think we have anybody lined up on the phone line. So you're first in line if you guys want to do that. Plus, we got to rank our top. Excuse me, do the ranking for the last 10 starting quarterbacks here at Alabama. We'll do that next right here on the Miller's Edge.
For our complete range of duct surfaces, 205-339-6540 or at adamsfcs.com. Adams Services.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless
Compact tractors sell in soon. Stop by Tuscaloosa Tractor at 3921 Skyland Boulevard East or go to Kubota.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. We're going to hold on to clouds here this afternoon. Scattered showers and storms around 87. Storm chances continue through the night tonight down to 68. More storms on tap for tomorrow. High tomorrow 86. Rain chances continue on here through the close of the week and into the holiday weekend. Daytime highs in the mid-80s, nighttime lows in the upper 60s. This is Richard, the weather at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Where the season never ends. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
This is Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's read a couple of these chats real quick. Again, we're open on the phone lines. Bama hater, we missed him the past couple of days. Anybody wants to line up, feel free to jump in on the conversation, 205-342-9904. We might have Stephen M. Smith calling in at 1230. I know he mentioned it, so or jumping on the stream, so we'll wait and see on that. Money Man says, if Bama can average 5 to 6 yards a carry, it doesn't matter how much they run it. The threat would be live and respected, therefore opening up passing lanes. I agree now, but you're talking about 5-6 yards a carry on average. I mean, brother, that's a pretty high number there, Reed. I mean, what did we average last year? I mean, you're talking about almost doubling what we were averaging last year, right?
Yeah, like nearly. That's a big ask, but I mean, I do respect it. If we are capable of that this next season, which, you know, I think me and you, Christian, would both love, but it's a matter of fact of can we do it? And if we can, then yes, I think it would open up the pass lanes.
Listen, I think I don't even like getting too caught up on numbers. You got to have efficiency. And that's what he's saying, right? Like, if you can sit there and line up and run the football and know that, hey, there is a threat there, we can do it. Because when you hear Coach DeBoer talk about it, that's his biggest thing. He's not necessarily looking to just turn his team or convert it into this run-heavy team. His biggest thing is, we need to be able to execute on the ground when it comes up. You heard him, he talked about it on my show. I've heard him talk about it with Greg McElroy, whether that's 4-minute offense, which we talk a lot about here on the show. That's really big when you get to that point in games. You got to be able to run the football, whether it's, you know, short yardage situations. That, like, those to me are huge, right? Think about it. One of the biggest things that bothers me is that when we're in third, fourth, and short, right, 1-2, whatever, all these trick plays that we run, I would argue, and I don't even know the statistics on this, but I would say, like, we probably run, it's almost probably split 50-50. Most people are just going to run up and line up and run the football. With us, it's like, if we're in fourth and short, third and short, I mean, we're either doing a trick play or maybe we'll try to run the football. And that is concerning to me, right? And so, like, I don't really know what the average needs to be. I don't know what it is going to be. I just know it has to be better. I just know you have to be able to line up and guys do their job, and that's what they're working on doing, right? Don't get it twisted. That's what they're working for.
Well, Christian, let me ask you this then. If I know it's a big concern, I think, for me, you, and pretty much all of Bama fans, but let me ask you, could this run game get any worse than it was last season?
That's a good question. Listen, you can always get worse. We weren't dead last. So to answer your question, yeah, it can get worse. Do I think it gets worse? No. I mean, I just don't see a world where you finish the season last year and you're 126 out of, what, 130-something teams. You have a game and a championship game, conference championship game. You have -3 rushing. There's no way that as a head coach at the University of Alabama at that, making all that money and you don't at least improve somewhat in that aspect, right? So to answer your question, can it, believe it or not, I know people say, oh, well, it can't get worse. Trust me, it could get worse. But I don't think that happens, right? I'm optimistic that it gets better. I'm not optimistic that it just massively changes, but I'm optimistic that it can get a little bit better. Why? Because I'll be honest, I mean, sometimes less is more. And that's why I asked him that specific question when he came on my show, like, for him, what does that look like? And did he feel like they had a little bit of a lack of identity? Why? He kind of changed the wording. I get it. Probably didn't sound the best on his end if he says that. But he basically acknowledged, like, yeah, everything we've been saying on this show is true, that you have to, like, you have to have an identity. And there just has to be some things that, you know, you can line up and go to, whether it's duo, inside zone, whether it's stretch. It doesn't matter. Power, counter. Like, you just have to have your bread and butter. And to answer your question, Reed, I think that's going to be an emphasis. Find out what they do well, even if it's just a couple different runs, man. And that way, you know, hey, short yardage, this is what we go to, man. We love power right here. Man, we love duo right here. Like, we're going to rep this. And to the point where you just know you have some level of success. So can it get worse? Yes. Do I think that happens? No. But I would probably say, I'm trying to pull it up. Let me see. Rushing statistics, because I want to look at this real quick. Rushing offense. So if you go by rushing yards per attempt, Alabama would have been at, sorry, I kind of shuffled the list a little bit. Let me jump Okay, because it's not really in order like I want it. Here we go. Now it is. Alabama was at 3.3 yards per carry, 3.35 yards per carry. And that would put them as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, like 12th worst. The worst was 2.59, and that was Stanford, man. And that's my guy, Jamie Mosley, man. He's on the D-line side of things. Hopefully, whoever they hired for the offensive line position out there can help them out.
I was about to say, glad that ain't us.
Yeah, that's bad. I mean, we're not far from it, but yeah, not great either. So looking at these numbers, I mean, I hate talking about the whole numbers thing. I think we can be better than that. I'm just going to leave it at that. A couple other teams. So, you know, it's crazy. We weren't even the worst in the conference. South Carolina was even worse than us. They're at 3.31.
Yeah.
Which we knew they were bad going into that game. We talked about how bad they were on the ground. And that's with a quarterback that actually runs the football. So that's how you know they're bad. I mean, you got Lenora Sellers, who he picks up a number of yards, you know, running the football, right? We know he's a big tank with the ball in his hands. But we'll also say, you got to remember that sack yards are factored in here, and they gave up a lot of sacks, if I'm not mistaken. So that probably also attributes to that. But we'll have to see, man. We'll definitely have to see. I'm so ready for the season. Of course, we all love football. I just think, like, with there's been so much attention. Like, of course, we know year one, year two, it was exciting to see, oh, how's Alabama going to look going into year two under Kalen DeBoer? But I feel like there's a level of excitement right now, Reed, that's just even more, because now it's like, this is year three. Now he's got even more of his guys here. He just made a couple changes to the staff. Like, I feel like there's so many things that, I guess, really questions that we want answered. And I think this can be a really important year. Like, I feel like there's a lot to look for. I can't wait till the season comes, because we'll be able to answer this stuff very soon. We're a couple months out, right? We'll see if the running game is better. Hopefully that is the case. 205-342-9904 is the number if you guys want to get in on the conversation. We're about to talk about the last 10 starting quarterbacks here in a moment, and we'll rank them and see what you guys come up with. Again, we got this from the next round. Shout out to those guys. Want to give them credit there for that good question, and we'll talk about it coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, Title 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance,
joint pain, and more. No referral, no problem. Search DCH Spine Care on Google. DCH's Spine Care Center. Get back in the game.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll talk to Bill Conley. He's got some strong opinions on the college football playoff expansion talk. We'll start 2 p.m. right here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got a fun show today, man. It's been rolling. Good stuff, man. I'm telling you, it's so funny how this works, man. Because you just never really know kind of what the topic's going to be, especially during the dog days of summer. Now during football season, come on now, easy money. I mean, we're breaking down tape, we're breaking down games, previews, reviews, you name it. But you know, dog days of summer, you're always kind of like, man, I wonder what's going to be on the agenda. And then somebody opens their mouth and just says something, and then it's just like, all right, perfect. Thank you so much. So, I mean, listen, there's always going to be something fun to talk about, and that's what we're doing. Shout out to the next round. Want to hit on this real quick. Top 10 last read, I swear. This is the ranking the last 10 starting quarterbacks. I want to say top 10, but it's really just ranking the last 10 starting quarterbacks. Again, shout out to the next round with this one. They had posted this tweet yesterday, I believe. And I thought it was interesting, number one, because I played with like half the guys on this list. And I wanted to chime in on it because I didn't agree fully with the list. And of course, it's subjective. But this is one major, I guess, not correction, but I would say a note that I want to throw out there for this list read. You need to specify if this list is put together based on talent, production, or both, all right? Because that can change a lot. This is the next round's list that they posted, I guess, collectively. I think they also had, like, individual lists. But that is the hardest thing for me because when I look at it, I'm like, listen, if we're going off of talent, that's going to change and shuffle my list. If you're going off production, that's going to change itself on my list. And of course, if you go off of both, which I think is kind of what you want to do, I think you want to go off of both, in my opinion. But this was their list, the main one they had. We'll start with number 10, Blake Sims, first quarterback I played with here. I think Blake Sims is an underrated guy. I'm just being honest. I think he's underrated. Now, I know when you have a number of good quarterbacks, it's hard. Somebody's going to have to be last on your list. I get it. But Blake Sims, if I'm not mistaken, set like a passing record when he was here. The connection between him and Amari Cooper, man, was special. Blake, he saved us in a number of moments with his legs, being able to extend plays. And man, Blake, for a guy that I don't even know if he was necessarily recruited as a quarterback, but I know he spent time on scout team, like as a DB, as a running back. But then to him break a passing record, I have a lot of respect for Blake Sims, man. He was a leader on our team in 2014, did a phenomenal job at quarterback. But they have him at number 10. Number 9, they have Jalen Milroe, guy that, you know, SEC champion, led his team to a playoff appearance, really could have won, I guess the really could have led his team to a national championship game appearance. There's, yeah, again, didn't get there, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, he did some really good things as a starting quarterback. He set, you know, a number of records, I believe, as well, at least for like single game performances. One of the most dynamic players that we had seen. Now, his last year definitely had several games and performances where he kind of dipped a little bit, you know that, but still a really good player. Number 8, you got Greg McElroy. He was a national championship winning quarterback. The biggest thing with Greg, and I mean this, you know, very respectfully, he wanted like the flashiest quarterback to play here, right? And so when I, if I'm being honest, if we're going off like pure talent at the position, I probably would move him back some. I'll get to that here in a second. But in terms of you put everything together, I mean, listen, he's a national championship quarterback. A senior year, he did put up some good numbers. But, you know, some would maybe argue, I mean, playing in a time where you run the football a lot, they had some damn good running backs, the defense was phenomenal. Of course, it's going to benefit him, but that's not his fault either. But I understand why some people might have moved him down a little bit. Jake Coker, he was the quarterback I had in 2015. We won a national championship. Tough guy. I mean, had a rocket of an arm, right? And he led us to a national championship game. He wasn't even the starter initially. He won the job after that Ole Miss game, and we never looked back. Jake Coker is a really good player. Ty Simpson, they had at number six, just was a first-round draft pick to the Rams. Jalen Hurts at number five. Mac Jones, number four, responsible for an undefeated season during the COVID year, set a number of records. One of his receivers ended up being a Heisman Trophy winner. And Devontae Smith, number three, they had A.J. McCarron. Very decorated player, right? Had a lot of success. One of the top passing leaders here at the university. Won a number of championships. I mean, really good quarterback. We know AJ is. And then you got Bryce Young at number two, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. Very special talent. But I'm going to explain something about this in a second because they had Tua Tagovailoa, who was my quarterback for a couple of years as well. Didn't win his championship as a starter necessarily, but you know, he did win a national championship while he was here. And listen, he put up some crazy numbers as well. So that was their list. But this is one thing I'm going to throw out there. Think about who these guys had around them as well. And the reason I bring that up is I know there are some conversations about should Bryce be number one, should Tua be number one. Personally, and I played with Tua. Tua's, I mean, was phenomenal. We know how special of a talent he is. But Bryce Young, man, and I've talked to people that played here, that were around Bryce. I mean, Bryce was the most talented quarterback that they've seen. And they had seen Tua, where they coached him, played with. I mean, like, Bryce Young was that type of talent. And not only that, Bryce Young was a Heisman Trophy winner. And on top of that, Tua had, like, a whole receiver room that was, like, all first-round draft picks. Not making excuses, I'm just saying, like, I think it is very fair to point that out. Bryce Young did not have the same supporting cast, not only in the receiver room, but Bryce Young also lacked a quality offensive line. Tua had a number of first-round talents in front of him protecting him, a really strong running game, a running back room that was incredible. Bryce Young didn't have all of those same factors. So to me, I probably would put Bryce Young at one, given the Heisman Trophy that he won. Tua really could have or should have won that in 2018, but still, Bryce won it. And he didn't have the same ride outs to throw to or the line and protecting him, or even the running game for that. And with that being said, I personally probably swap those. I'll give the rest of my list here in a second. Reed, do you want to chime in anything? Do you want to give your whole list or just talk about what you would change?
Well, no, I'll change. You know, I've given my change first, and then we can kind of go back and forth on our list. But, yeah, I was about to say the exact same thing, and it makes me – question, you know, if you were to swap Bryce and Tua's, you know, best years, right, with, like you were talking about, the team around them, then what would the production, you know, of course we're talking what ifs because it is the dog days, but you know, what would the production be? You know, it makes me think. And yeah, just what Bryce Young did with, really, if you go, you know, player for player, you know, of course respect the Crimson A, you know, I appreciate every player that comes through here, but just the amount of talent that was around Tua, I mean, was just, and once again, it's not anything that he could control, you know, but I mean, it's just unbelievable to think back to. So yeah, Bryce is my number one.
Yeah, I just, look, I think Bryce did just as much, maybe a little bit more, if you're just talking about some of the accolades, with less. So that's just that for me. And to be fair, I think it's almost interchangeable, really, depending on, you know, how people view them or, you know, what somebody might view as being a little bit more, I guess, important. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and we don't even know what we're basing this off of, right? Are we basing it off of production, achievements? You know, I'm just trying to take a little bit of everything and put it together.
And that's how I'm making my list. I'm kind of going off of achievements, but also really talent. To me, if you're ranking quarterbacks, I think – talent is a big one. But see, it's also like the NBA argument. Like, who's the GOAT? I mean, if we're going off of who won the most rings, you know, your list is going to look one way. But if you're just going off of who is the best players, I mean, your list is going to look a different way. I'm trying to blend it here. But I probably, if I had to switch it up a little bit, this is, I would probably go Bryce Young number one, Tua two. I'd leave AJ at three. I don't like Mac Jones. I mean, the season that he had in 2020, I mean, you could almost argue that season alone was better than pretty much almost all these people on this list. If we're just look at the numbers, what he did, that's an all SEC schedule, by the way. But for me, like when I line up Mac Jones, AJ McCarron, like, what AJ did in terms of the production, the championships. I mean, I feel like you got to leave him up there. I feel like you do. I'm fine leaving him at three, Mac at four. Jalen Hurts is what, 26-2 as a starter. I mean, he started as a true freshman. Jalen was a very special player. I see Ty Simpson at six. Listen, Ty Simpson's an interesting one for me.
Yeah, same.
He only had 1 year as a true starter. He had some highlights during this past season, right? I mean, like, he was like arguably the top quarterback in the country at one point. Very impressive. But he also didn't, I think he's like the only quarterback on that list that didn't even win an SEC championship. Tua, yes. Bryce, yes. AJ, yes. Mac, yes. Jalen, yes. Coker, yes. McElroy, yes. Jalen, yes. Blake, yes. Yeah, he's the only quarterback that didn't even win an SEC championship. And then the second half of the season, I get he was hurt, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it won his best ball. I would probably consider bumping Ty Simpson down. If we're putting, if you're just going off of talent, I think he's definitely, you know, talent wise, I think that's okay, kind of around where he's at. Like, if you're just saying strictly talent. But with us putting all these factors in here, I got to probably bump him down a couple spots, just being honest with you. I don't think that's fair to have him above some of these other guys. I don't have to be honest, 6 through 10 is a little tough for me. I think I would probably bump Ty down a couple spots. See, this is the problem. 6 through 10 is really where you got to say, hey, do I value talent more or production? Because if we're going off of talent, I think Jalen Milroe, even Blake Sims, I think you can make an argument that they're probably – people might get mad at this. I would probably say they're – with everything that they did, the dynamic ability that they brought, I would probably put them above a guy like McElroy, honestly. But McElroy is a good quarterback too, right? A little bit of a game manager, but he also is leading his team to a championship. So, I mean, that's respectable. So I'll be honest with you. I don't really care how you shuffle 6 through 10, but personally, I would maybe move. Man, that's tough. Listen, we're due for a break anyways. Let's do this. We'll take a break. It'll give us some time to figure out our 6 through 10 order. And then we'll come back and do that. Plus, we do have Adam on the phone line. And so I want to get Adam on here because I know he wants to chime in on something. We'll do that and get his thoughts on this list and get y'all's.
Providing essentials like clothing, hygiene items, and household goods. Put help within reach. Learn more at good360.org.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll talk to Bill Conley. He's got some strong opinions on the college football playoff expansion talk. We'll start 2 at p.m. right here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. We're going to hold on to clouds here this afternoon. Scattered showers and storms around 87. Storm chances continue through the night tonight down to 68. More storms on tap for tomorrow. High tomorrow 86. The rain chances continue on here through the close of the week and into the holiday weekend. Daytime highs in the mid-80s. Nighttime lows in the upper 60s. This is Richard Dwelling at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly!
On Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
And welcome back into this Wednesday edition. We're wrapping up our rankings of the top. Excuse me. Okay. You know what? Our rankings of the last 10 starting quarterbacks here at Alabama. Shout out to the next round. They're the ones that came up with this game, or I guess I don't know. Thought, you get the point. Let's hear what Adam has to say, because I still have not decided. 205-342-9904. We got Adam on the phone lines. Adam, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, of course, man. Good to hear from you on the phone lines, man. First time I think we got you on the phone lines.
Yeah, first time, and, you know, this is such a great discussion. I just had a brief comment. You know, first, I think Bryce Young was the best because he was also the most physical. He took a serious beating against Tennessee, and he kept moving forward and had one of the best games. And if Reichert makes that field goal, we win. And it kind of relates back to the physicality point I was making, which is, you know, physicality starts with mental toughness. And when you make players safely, of course, do the things that they think they can't do, whether it's running a marathon or boxing or getting hit, it pushes them beyond their comfort zone and teaches them how to overcome adversity. And when they realize that they can do the things they thought were impossible, that's when they start believing in themselves. And that, I think, is going to be the catalyst for, you know, getting the running game going, winning the line of scrimmage, getting the stop on fourth and one. So that, I think, is the recipe for physicality. So while my suggestions are somewhat extreme, of course, and, you know, joking, I am trying to make an underlying point that they need to get pushed this summer to do the things that they think are impossible, and that will be helpful.
And also swimming with sharks in infested waters, right? So, I mean, now, but maybe if there's, like, some type of scuba gear that literally makes it impossible for the shark's teeth to, I guess, penetrate through. Maybe. I like the boxing idea, though. I mean, that, you talk about competitiveness. That's one way. I mean, you get hit in the mouth, man. That's pretty much a direct, I guess, I don't know, reflection of what it is like in a football game when you get hit in the mouth, except you actually are probably getting hit in the mouth physically and you probably want to respond. You know, I don't think anybody just wants to get hit, but no, it makes sense. So real quick, I want to ask you, because I need your help, Adam, on this quarterback rankings from the last 10 starters, man. So you got Bryce Young at number one. We agreed there. You're good with Tua Tagovailoa at number two, AJ at three. That all sound good?
Mostly. Tua definitely is at number two, and it's very close between him and Bryce. But number three, I've got to give to Mac Jones. Number four, I would give to Jalen Hurts. Number five, to Ty Simpson. Number six, to McCarron. And then number seven, you see, I would put Milroe a little higher, too. So I would put number seven would probably be Coker. Eight would be Milroe. And then it would be Sims and McElroy. With all due respect to all 10 who were great.
Yeah, no, as far as, listen. Hey, go ahead.
I was going to say, as far as the shark-infested waters, I think the solution is there's no sharks in the water because we value the player's safety and well-being, but we tell them there are.
There you go. I like that. You tell them they're down below them. I like that. Right. So we're good on that. So there we go. That will definitely – and that way you know who's willing to – I shouldn't say die about it, but I mean, we, you know, I hear guys say that I'm willing to die about this game. Well, all right, prove it. Jump in the water with some sharks and then swim a mile, like Adam has proposed. All right, Adam, on your list, you helped me out a little bit for sure. I'm gonna leave that 1 through 5 just the way it is because I can't even figure out 6 through 10. But I would probably starting at 10. I would probably bump McRoy down there. No disrespect to him, just I value talent a lot. You know, when I hear these, you know, GOAT debates, I hate when people only go, oh, he has this many rings, the other guy has that many rings. I feel like, right, you know, if you're talking about the best players, you have to put some significance on talent. And, you know, just even just reading some of these folks in the chat, man, they're right, man. Like Blake Sims, man, he is very underrated. I don't think people give him enough credit for what he did. So I need to bump him up some. Listen, I'm just saying, some people might not like to hear this. I think a lot of people actually agree with me. If you compare Jalen Milroe to Ty Simpson in their careers, listen, Jalen Milroe had a better career. That's just a fact. People might get a little frustrated hearing that because I know they're like, oh, Ty, he was hurt. Guys, I mean, Jalen Milroe won an SEC championship as quarterback, you know, led his team, you know, to that game against Michigan. I mean, he did some good stuff. Now, I get it. You know, the style of play was a little bit different, especially when you talk about the quarterback position. But just because a guy doesn't throw the ball as well, if he's doing other things that are exceptional, like Jalen was doing, even Blake with their legs, you have to also include that, even though it's not, I guess, what you always expect out of the quarterback position. So, yeah, I definitely probably bump those guys up some. And it probably looks similar to you. Maybe would have Coker at 8 or 9 range, and then maybe then Blake Sims, and then probably Ty, and then Jalen Milroe. So I don't know, however that order ends up shaking out. So I think we're good on that. But definitely a very interesting little game to play. Any last minute thoughts on any of that, Adam? Are you good with your second list?
Yeah, the last thought I had is I was somewhat critical of Milroe when he was starting, but when I saw how Ty played last year, it changed my mind because clearly they were both struggling with an offensive line that was not playing to its potential. Right. When you look at it through that lens, Milroe's athletic ability, I mean, what he did against LSU and Baton Rouge was unbelievable. He deserves that credit, and that's why I would put him higher. But I think at the end of the day, the players on the team right now are incredibly talented, but I think the key is getting them to reach their potential. And so let's safely swim with sharks and, you know, safely. But the point is let's push them past their comfort zone. If we do that this summer, I think we could be in for a possibly special and surprising year. Thanks for taking my call, as always.
Of course. Thank you, Adam. We appreciate all the support, man. And glad you got to head down to that. Tell me real quick before you go, man, how was the event? Yeah. I know you got your hands on the helmet, man, which I'm super excited for you. I'm glad that worked out. And just tell me, how was it? How'd you enjoy South Kakalaki, my neck of the woods, Columbia?
I loved it. We had such a great time. I mean, Corey was so kind and welcoming, and everybody was great, and the band was great. And I not only got the helmet, but I got his South Carolina jersey. Did on that too, so it was wonderful event. I'm very thankful. Yeah,
dang,
great memory.
Hey, I love that, man. I love that. Well, maybe I'll do this. I don't have anything to auction off, but you know what? Maybe because I do have a couple of them, man. As much support as you've offered me, these things are sentimental to me. I might have to see if I have either something, if there's jersey or something that I'm willing to part ways with to show you our appreciation too. That way, you got the whole collection. You got his helmet stuff that would throw you one of my things too. Because
I'll get immediately.
We'll definitely work that. Adam, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
All right, have a great day. Great show.
Yes, sir. You too. Adam Lamparello, our official representation. They're calling in on the phone line. Shout out to Adam again. Lamparello-law.com is where you can find out more information about what they're doing. Of course, the legal services and the representation, but also any of the academic services that they also provide. Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Reed, it's been a fun one, man. Really good show, man. Really good stuff. And I'm sure we'll have plenty more rankings and things we'll be talking about tomorrow.
Yeah, we have no idea. It could, for all we know, just someone else could say something out of pocket, and we'll be back at it, like you said, tomorrow.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope somebody just stirs the pot or says something. Hey, one more reminder, too. Code Miller's Edge for rnrcigars.com. If you guys are in the market, you know you got some holidays coming up, make sure you guys check that out. 2703 Gary Fitz Street is where you can find them here in Tuscaloosa. Go get your nice stick. 160 bourbons to pair with it. Drink responsibly. Wrap around porch. the weather's great to stay cool and enjoy yourself a nice stick, man. That is R&R Cigars. You can't beat it. Go check out the mansion, especially if you've never been here, man. It's definitely a sight to see right here in Tuscaloosa, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. That'll do it for us on this Wednesday edition. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.